Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see you tonight. As we prepare to meditate on the scriptures, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for bringing us here together tonight. Father, we thank you for the day that we've been able to share so far today. And Father, we thank you for the time that we have to come together tonight to sing your praises, to come before you in prayer, to surround the table with our family, and to come before your scriptures. And God, we pray that you would give us grace to know you, that you would give us the mercy to understand you. Father, we pray that you would open our hearts to what you have to say to us, and we ask that you would help us to take something from your word and apply it in our lives as we seek to be better followers of Jesus. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So this fall on Sunday mornings, we have been asking this question. It's a question that dates back for centuries. It's a powerful question. WWJD. What would Jesus do? And it's a powerful question that we've said can change lives, and it's a question that can change hearts. It's a question even that can change entire communities or entire countries. It's a powerful question, but that question only gets us so far. And one of the reasons why this question only gets us so far is that we typically ask this question in those big dramatic moments, in those crisis situations, in those decisive defining moments. But in reality, discipleship is about everyday moments, and it's about everyday choices. Discipleship happens not just in those big exciting moments. Discipleship happens and those boring, mundane, everyday moments that make up our everyday lives. Because discipleship consists of everyday choices. And so we follow Jesus not just in the big, dramatic adventures, though there are times when following Jesus will be that big, dramatic adventure, and we shouldn't be afraid of those, and we shouldn't be afraid of stepping out in faith when those big, dramatic adventures are placed before us. But most often, we follow Jesus in the everyday choices that we make. We follow Jesus in the boring and the mundane. The Monday through Friday, the daily grind, this is when discipleship happens. Because discipleship is intentional. Discipleship doesn't just happen. When I was in college, my freshman year, my second semester, I was studying chemistry. And chemistry was, as I've said several times before, the worst part of my college career. I didn't understand the material very well. I had an instructor that I didn't learn well from. I had teaching assistants that didn't help to teach very much. And so the time came for my first midterm. And I remember studying and working with my roommate, who's a lot smarter than I am, and trying to figure out all of this chemistry stuff and spent all day trying to learn it. I was never very good at staying up late, and so when it started getting later and later and I wasn't getting it, I decided just to call it quits and go to bed because I wasn't figuring it out. But I decided that I would put my chemistry book underneath my pillow on the small, slim chance that I might wake up the next morning having learned more chemistry over the night than I had learned before going to bed. And of course, it did not work. Of course, the next day came and I got the worst grade of my entire academic career because I couldn't learn it by osmosis. I had been in the classrooms. I had put the book underneath my bed, but I still didn't learn chemistry. And discipleship the same way. We don't become disciples through osmosis. We can't just put a book under our bed and expect to be disciples. There's the old adage, I don't really know exactly how old it is, but I've heard it for a while, that being in church doesn't make you any more of a Christian than being in a garage makes you a car. Discipleship is intentional. Discipleship, following Jesus, is about those everyday choices that we make. And so tonight I want us to spend just a couple minutes together reflecting on some daily choices that we can make as we seek to follow Jesus. Daily choices that we can make to pursue intentional discipleship. To ask that WWJD question in a way that will shape our lives, not just in the big dramatic moments, but in those small, everyday realities of our lives. And most of this is based on Matthew chapter 5 through 7, some of the richest material we have from Jesus condensed into just a couple chapters. And so if you want to turn in your Bible, we'll be looking at a lot of verses from Matthew chapter 5 especially. The first choice that we can make is the choice to rely on a close relationship with God. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Being poor in spirit means that we recognize we can't save ourselves. It means that we are aware of our spiritual needs and not just our physical needs. And it means that we are aware that the power to live a holy life of discipleship comes from God. And this phrase, relationship with God, is a phrase that's easy to misuse. And it's a phrase that's easy for us to misconstrue, because relationship with God doesn't mean that Jesus is your boyfriend. It doesn't mean that Jesus is your spouse. It doesn't mean that Jesus is your girlfriend. It means that you live with a daily connection with God and a daily awareness of our connection with God. It's what one Christian author, Brother Lawrence, called the practice of the presence of God. It means learning to rely on God. It means learning to trust God daily, moment by moment, to give us the sustaining grace and the power that we need to live this life of discipleship. And the way we do that is making the choice to be in constant prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to pray without ceasing. And this is how we live in this constant relationship with God. It doesn't mean that we spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, locked in a closet praying somewhere. There are times in life when that's necessary, when we have to pull back from the craziness and the chaos. And we see Jesus doing that consistently. It was a habit for him. But this command to pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we are tucked away in secret all the time. It means that we direct our thoughts and our affections towards God. It means that we lift our gaze from ourselves up to our Creator. It means that we ask questions. That means we ask for guidance. It means that we talk to God about our feelings and what we're struggling with. It means we talk to God about what we're thankful for and what we need to praise Him for. And when we do this, when we make the choice to be in constant prayer, it helps us with many of these other things. It helps us to make the choice to be empathetic. Jesus says in Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." One of the things that's clear as we look throughout the Scriptures is that there is a special place in the heart of God for those people who are broken and those people who are hurting. And sometimes in life when we are talking with a person, or we see a person who is going through a rough time, our first response is almost always to try to fix the problem. I don't know about you, but I know when Amanda comes home from work and she's struggling with something, before she's even done talking, before I even finish listening to what she has to say, I'm already thinking about, okay, how can I fix this? Or if I can't fix it, how can I tell her to fix this problem? But that's not always what's needed. Often what's needed is simply understanding. Simply someone to be there for that person. Throughout the life of Jesus, we see Jesus healing countless people, and we see Jesus casting out countless demons. But Jesus did not always fix the problem. He didn't always get rid of the disease. He didn't always get rid of the demon. But Jesus always walked alongside those people who are struggling and those people who are hurting. And so we make the choice daily to be empathetic. We make the choice daily to understand and to walk with those around us who are hurting. And we make the daily choice to have a godly attitude towards success. Jesus says in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There is no place for arrogance in our life as disciples. That's true spiritually, but it's also true in every aspect of our lives. Everything that we have, every spiritual blessing that we have been given. We haven't earned it. We haven't fought for it. We haven't won that blessing. We have been given that blessing. And James tells us that every good gift that we have comes from God. And so every success that we have, whether it's a spiritual success or whether it's a success in parenting or whether it's success at work or whether it's success in the classroom or whether it's success on an athletic field or in a hobby somewhere, is a gift from God. And so we make the choice to be humble in our success. It also means we make the choice to control our anger. Jesus says in Matthew 5, "I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. As followers of Jesus, we can't let our anger get out of control. The anger itself isn't always bad. There is a place for anger. We see anger in Jesus' life. We see anger in the character of God. But we also have to make the choice to control that anger and not to let that anger control us. We make the choice to control anger, not to let it control us. And as disciples, we daily seek holiness. We make the conscious choice to seek holiness. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Hunger might be a little bit hard for us to kind of comprehend right now, given the fact that we have so much food over this weekend, given the fact that many of our refrigerators are practically overflowing with leftovers. But that's what Jesus says. It's this picture of longing for justice and righteousness. It's this picture of longing for the holiness of God. And so Jesus says we have to make the choice to seek holiness. Because just like discipleship isn't something that just happens, holiness doesn't just happen. We don't go to bed at night and wake up the next morning as holy people. It's a process. It's the process that theologians would call sanctification, where God makes us more and more holy. But it's also something that we have to pursue. And with so much around us enticing us to live unholy lives, we have to make that daily choice to seek holiness, to pursue the righteousness and the justice of God. And it means we make the choice as we seek to be disciples to extend mercy to others. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Our entire relationship with God is built on mercy. It's God giving us what we need, not what we deserve. And if that's true of our standing with God, shouldn't we do the same? If God has shown us so much mercy, shouldn't we extend mercy to others? We don't have to get back at anyone. We don't have to seek revenge. We get to leave those things to God. And as disciples, we show mercy. We show mercy because we have been shown so much mercy. As we continue to seek this life of discipleship, we make the choice to daily study God's word. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And it's by reading and studying and meditating on and applying the words of God in Scripture that we are changed by it. It's through the word that we come to know God. It's through the word we come to know what God expects of us. And it's through the word that we can have new hearts. If we want to have the kind of pure hearts Jesus talks about in this verse, it means that we have to allow the Word to get inside of our hearts. And that can only come as we daily choose to get it inside of our heart. We make the choices to study the Scriptures and to meditate on them so they can get inside of us, so that they can begin to shape us and change our hearts. And as disciples, we make the choice to be a force for good in the world. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And so as Christians, we should be forces of conflict resolution in the world, not adding fuel to the fires of arguments around us. And not only do we avoid unnecessary conflict and unhelpful conflict, we actively pursue peace. Because Jesus doesn't just say, "Blessed are the peacekeepers." Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Because there is a difference of avoiding conflict and making for peace. And so as followers of Jesus, we daily make the choice to make peace, to pursue peace. And we daily remember that the biblical notion of peace is so much more than the absence of conflict, that we look through the Hebrew Scriptures to see this strong, robust picture of peace that is a picture of the wholeness of God, the presence of God's love, and God's incredible justice. And so we make the choice to pursue that kind of peace. We make the choice to be a force for that kind of good in the world. And then we make the choice to endure suffering for Jesus' sake. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, starting in verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so we make the choice daily to make the hard choice for Jesus. We make the choice before we are ever placed in a situation where we might be tempted to compromise our values. We make the choice ahead of time to make the hard choice when it comes. We make the choice to do the hard thing for Jesus, to be willing to endure suffering and to endure the trials that come from following Jesus, so that when it happens, when that moment comes and we are tempted to compromise what we hold so dearly, that we will be ready, that we can make that hard choice no matter the consequences. And we do it knowing that the reward we have from our God is greater than any suffering or any pain that we can imagine. From our lesson this morning, that our light and momentary afflictions are building up for us an eternal weight of glory that outshines all comparison. So this life of discipleship is a life that consists of everyday choices. God has given us the freedom to choose. And so what kind of choices are you making? If you're not making choices that draw you closer to Him, if you're not making choices that align you with the life that He has for you, you can change that right now. If you've never been baptized, you can make that decision, that choice right now, to put on Jesus through baptism so that you can have that new heart, so that you can live this life of peacemaking, that you can make all of these daily choices that put you in a relationship with Him. Or tonight, if you are struggling with something, let us pray for you. If you have a need tonight, would you let us know how we can help by coming and talking to me as we all stand and worship together?